to lead us off on the show today. Happy to have him back. One of the largest live streams on the planet. And it's always a pleasure to be joined by Destiny, who joins us right now on the show. Destiny, good to see you, my friend. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
Doing okay, man. Hanging in there. I want to get your thoughts on this to start. What was the first thing that entered your mind, Destiny, when you heard of this $1.7 billion slush fund, which is going to be paid out to people like the Steve Bannons of the world, the Navarros of the world, and probably those who beat cops on January 6th? Like, I don't think it gets any lower than this. What were your thoughts?
Are you asking me for the first thoughts that I had in my mind, like truly, or the first thoughts that I can say on this show without us getting arrested by Cash Patel?
Well, both, but I certainly don't, Destiny, I don't want you arrested, but you can phrase it any way you want as long as it's PG-13 because we're on the radio.
You know, there's like a whole separate side discussion to this that it goes a little bit beyond kind of the public discourse, or maybe a little bit beyond what most people are. I'm trying to sound condescending. Something that's very hard for people to understand is that language is very complicated, right? When you ask, like, what is a woman? Like, that's a really complicated concept, you know? Not to say that biological women and biological men don't exist, and, you know, we can have these conversations, but people sometimes just gloss over it and very quickly say, oh, it's very easy to figure this out. Language is so incredibly complicated, and this doesn't change when you move into the realm of law. Law is very complicated, you know? If it was as easy as reading a law to decide what the law meant and then to just carry forward, we wouldn't have judges. We would just have laws, and everybody would just know exactly what they meant and follow them the exact correct way at all times. One thing that's been very hard to tell people or to convince people of is that as long as you have a bad faith actor that's engaged in the legal process, and that person is controlling essential parts of the legal process, so for instance, when you're a plaintiff, is a private citizen who also happens to be the president who is in control of the defendant. At that point, you're at a very weird juncture of conflict of interest and law and everything else. But if you're willing to be bad faith, you can really make whatever rule you want. So all that to say, obviously, the slush fund is a terrible and atrocious idea. But like, if you're willing to play cute with language, you can kind of do whatever you want when it comes to passing whatever laws, making whatever federal rules, doing whatever you want as the government. And more people need to realize that. Whether it's for people who are saying the Democrats need to go really far when they get back into office, which is kind of where I'm at, or whether it's for people that constantly say we need to figure out a way to restrict these kinds of actors in the future. And the way that they want to go about doing that is to create more laws. And it's like, well, if they're willing to be this creative with how they interpret the laws right now, why would you assume that more laws in the future are going to stop them? You know, the analogy that I always give is like, if you were at a friend's house and the five of you, you know, you and a few friends were playing Monopoly, and one dude lands on your, you know, hoteled up boardwalk, and he steps up and he stabs you with a knife, and then you call the police, you go to the hospital, you come back. There's not a single person at that table that's thinking, okay, the next time we play Monopoly, we have to have a no knives rule, right? Because it's like,
right.
No, you're not crafting new rules for these types of players. They're just not playing the game, you know. And more people need to realize this. Yeah.
Do you think we'll ever find out, you know, who's getting paid and how much? Because my understanding is this is going to be private, right? There's going to be five people on this so-called commission or whatever they're calling it. At least that's what Todd Blanche said yesterday. And they're keeping everything private under wraps. So it is possible that an Enrique Tarrio type could get millions and millions of dollars. It is possible that some of these people who beat cops that day are now millionaires. And that's the precedent that Donald Trump and his administration have set, right?
I mean, you say possible. I'm understanding this correctly. Wasn't Ashley Babbitt's family paid out like $5 million something?
$5 million, correct. Yeah.
So you say possible. I say it's already happened, you know? Yeah. I mean, who knows how many different people. I remember we used to make fun of these guys back in the day when somebody's like, I got banned from social media. That's a violation of my First Amendment right. And we used to think those people were dumb. Now, I guess we're the stupid people. Sorry, we're the idiots, because I guess you can sue the government because you got banned from social media and get paid $150,000, $500,000, $5 million, you know? Jeez. Yeah,
and it's amazing, Destiny, because I'm on your social media today and I'm looking at a clip because I love the debate you did with Owen Schroyer. And I'm watching the clip that you put up today because it's so amazing how dumb some of these people are when talking about January 6th. In this aspect, you're trying to describe the first people who went into the Capitol, which you're correct, were Proud Boy members. And the narrative from some of these morons on the right is still Capitol Police let them in. And my argument is, well, first of all, people testified about this. When you're one or two Capitol Police officers and you have hundreds of people, you have two options, right? You either take out your gun and start shooting people or you let them in. And those were only a few Capitol Police officers. And those weren't the first people that went in. They were Proud Boy members. How can you argue or debate people that don't, they can't spell the word fact?
Mm-hmm. I mean, like, there's a whole other side thing, but like, I firmly believe right now that the goal is to kind of just bifurcate realities. You have your social media feeds, you've got your funnels, they feed the misinformation to the top, they know it always comes out the bottom, and it'll come out across a deluge of different platforms. You know, like you, Brian, you're saying one fact, but who's to say that you're right when I've heard Joe Rogan say the opposite, when I've heard Candace Owens say the opposite, when I've heard, you know, Theo Von and the guy, I don't even remember all the comedian podcaster names, like all these people who are centrist or whatever, all these guys who said the opposite of you. So am I supposed to believe you or am I supposed to believe all these other people? And I'm not just getting my information from one source. I am. It's actually all coming from my recommended feed, but I don't know that, right? It's actually coming from a variety of sources. So, I, you know, how am I supposed to? It seems like it's just up for debate when it's not, right? The videos exist. The videos exist. They're there. We can watch them break into the Capitol. Dominic is holding the shield and he breaks down the window. We see them.
Right. And yet you still hear the narrative that 250 FBI agents, as if even if that's true, that means that somehow undercover FBI agents were forcing people to beat police officers and storm the Capitol and chant "Hang Mike Pence." Like, I don't understand that argument.
And it's so crazy that we have thousands and thousands and thousands of videos and tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of hours of video footage. But for some reason, the only guy we have is what was his name? The old guy the night before who said, "We got to go into the Capitol."
Oh, yeah. I know who you're talking about.
This guy was like the super secret Manchurian candidate, FBI, Antifa super soldier that Eddington, the movie was about, I guess. Yeah. It's like, geez, give me a break. Also, how stupid. Everybody's saying on I forget these names. Baked Alaska, right? Baked Alaska's on camera watching this guy saying, "That guy's a Fed." They accuse him of being a Fed because he's saying to go into the Capitol. And then the next day, they all go to the Capitol. What are you doing? It's like the dumbest thing of all time. Also, forgetting the fact, because all these guys forget this, it's like, oh, man, so the FBI did that? Yeah, it was. Whose FBI was it again?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Shoot. Yeah,
mighty inconvenient. Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. And then you mentioned Antifa, right? I'm debating this buffoon on OAN last week, and he claims that Antifa was responsible for January 6th. And I say, where is your evidence? And he shows a few pictures with people with scarves over their face, doesn't know their names, but claims Antifa was responsible. And I said, are these people unaware, Destiny, that every single one of these people had the opportunity to defend themselves in a court of law? Every single one of them. But yet they're still claiming that Antifa was involved, that it was a setup with the FBI to this day. And now these people who, again, 700 of them or so committed violent crimes. They were convicted in a court of law. Not only did they get a full-on pardon and they're out of jail, free card, but now they're going to become millionaires. Like, I can't even comprehend this. And then when people say to us, why do you guys keep bringing up January 6th? They're the ones who keep bringing it up. Yeah, they're the ones who are doing it.
In the same breath, why do you keep bringing up January 6th? BLM riots, BLM riots, BLM riots. It's like, yeah, it's just, it's what do you want me to say, man? It's unbelievable.
I mean, Destiny,
wait. You got to admit, though, it was kind of cute, right? The 1.776.
Yeah, very funny stuff. Yeah, it's like, can you imagine, Destiny, if Joe Biden, after the Black Lives Matter, or Barack Obama, whoever, any Democrat, decided to pardon a bunch of people who committed violent acts during Black Lives Matter protests? People on the right would lose their mind. Not only do you pardon them, but you reward them and you pay them and you call them hostages and patriots. Can you imagine what people on the right would be saying? They'd be talking about it today.
I guess to be fair on their end, I remember when Biden made an unhinged statement. It was after, I think it was after Rittenhouse was acquitted. Didn't Biden say, we're going to do everything we can to go and capture him and throw him in a black van and blah, 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 blah. Oh, no. Biden said that was how the jury system played out. We accept the verdict and we're all moving on. The moral standards on both sides, it's not even remotely similar. We are dealing with a whole other type of actor. I will say anybody that cares about my opinion, which I'm sure is not many in the federal government, one thing that I wish would change is in state courts, generally speaking, you can record everything. You have video cameras, you've got audio, you can see footage of Tina Peters slobbering and crying to the judge during her allocution statement, which is where she's supposed to be saying, you know, I understand what I did was wrong. I'm sorry. I want to do what I can to pay my debt back to society. But instead, she started rattling off all the same conspiracy theories at the judge, pretending that he would agree with her, and he had to cut her off. We have video footage of that. I really wish in federal court we were allowed to have recordings, because I wonder sometimes with some of these J6 people if it would play differently if we saw the things they were saying in court instead of having all the transcripts. Because there were a lot of them that said, I was there. because yep. Donald Trump told me to be there.
Exactly. Apologies. I mean, Enrique Tarrio and others, apologies. I shouldn't have been there. I listened to Donald Trump. I mean, I would imagine most of them were making statements like that. That's a really good point. What do you make of the fact now that we're learning, and this is not a story that's being covered in the media for the most part, that Trump has bought literally and sold hundreds of millions of dollars in stock in a span of 3 months this year? What do you make of that?
What, so you're not allowed to trade stocks now if you're the president?
I guess I don't know. I mean, they were complaining about Nancy Pelosi and possible insider trading, and now we've literally learned about this recently, literally hundreds of millions of dollars in stock. The president of the United States, which is obviously unprecedented, and the level of corruption, I think you would agree, is monumental. We've never seen anything like this before.
It's also like, this is one of those things that's just so not, like, I don't even know why I'm having a discussion on this, but like, even if everything was above board, how comfortable would you feel with the president of the United States making such drastic foreign policy decisions, knowing that he has a 9-figure, 10-figure portfolio relying on the outcome of how some of these conflicts play out? Like, even the appearance of a conflict of interest is there. Remember, Mueller fired Peter Strzok just because of the appearance of potential impropriety, because Strzok had those text messages leaked where he was saying, like, we won't let Trump become president. And Mueller fired that guy from the investigation just because of the appearance of impropriety. And yeah, these guys are just shameless. And people don't understand also, and I guess I don't blame people, don't understand the magnitude of numbers. Like, you heard the saying before, like, what's the difference between a billion and a million?
Right.
About $1 billion. Yeah. Nothing. Yeah.
Exactly.
What's the difference between $1,000 and $1? About $1,000, you know?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, for Donald Trump has personally enriched himself a greater dollar amount than like the collective net worth of every single congressman, like all of U.S. history. And I don't know how I'm supposed to take anything anybody says seriously about Pelosi or corruption or anything else. Like, I'm
agreed.
Sorry.
Agree. I made that statement in a podcast yesterday. You mentioned billionaires. I want to get your thoughts on this, because Jeff Bezos did an interview on CNBC earlier today. I don't know if you saw this. So Ro Khanna and Bernie Sanders are trying to set up this billionaire tax they've been talking about that would set up a $60,000 a year minimum starting salary for all public school teachers, which I think is great. I totally am on board for this. Jeff Bezos' response to it, quote, "You could double the taxes I pay and it's not going to help that teacher in Queens, I promise you." I mean, I just couldn't believe he said that, but I guess we shouldn't be surprised. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh man, don't hit me on the economic stuff. Listen, you guys have your populist stuff, okay? I'm very much in my capitalist neolib phase over here. I think if we want to have a realistic conversation about tax policy in the U.S., we got to broaden the tax base, and we have to kick back all those Trump tax cuts. People really want to fix it on billionaires because it sells a whatever narrative, but like, Bezos is probably right. You could triple, quadruple, 10x his tax liability. You can take every bit of net worth he has and probably won't make that much of a difference in terms of the payouts that we do in the United States. I do think it's crazy. Like, I remember back when my kid was like in kindergarten, first grade, like driving to school, and then like the teachers have to do kind of, it sounds mean to say, but like the begging sessions at the beginning of every quarter or semester for everybody to bring in tissues, for everybody to bring in extra, you know, like erasers, pencils, or whatever else. And it's just crazy that you can be making millions of dollars or whatever, and then you drive to a public school, and then you entrust the life and education and well-being of your child to a whole bunch of teachers that are making $48,000, $50,000 a year. That's insane to me. It's just crazy to me. And then people turn around and then they complain about whatever else. And it's like, man,
It's absolutely horrible. Yeah, I think $60,000 should be the minimum. You know, I wanted to ask you about this, Destiny, because you get this a lot. I'm just starting to get this, which is when you do a debate, you get a lot of clickbait stuff and that sort of stuff. And it happened to you again today where you're doing a debate, I think yesterday, with this guy, Ryan Mulally, this attorney, right? And I see these titles, Destiny Rage Quits. I get the same crap now, maybe not at the level that you get, but it's just amazing to me that they don't even bother to actually watch the reason why you left, when you're literally debating somebody on an issue that has no idea what he's talking about. And I understand why you did that. It's a waste of your time. What would you say to these people that dissect your debates, not just yesterday, but just in general, and they completely mischaracterize what you said, what happened, and why you left?
I mean, this is it's the funnel I talked about before. You're trying to feed as many clips into the top of the funnel as possible to get it to filter down to people, to encourage them to have an opinion about whatever you want. I mean, like, I'm not necessarily opposed to clips or like the clip economy or whatever. I don't think anybody really is. I think the opposition is when you're using clips to mischaracterize something that somebody said. You know, if somebody wants to clip me and they want to say that, you know, like Destiny, like in this conversation, Destiny doesn't support the billionaire tax or whatever. It's like, okay, that's fair. I don't, you know. But if like you want to clip me and you want to say like Destiny hates public school teachers, loves that they make 48K a year. It's like, well, no, that's not really what I'm saying at all. Yeah, so like I think I had that. I don't know how long I talked to those guys last night. It was either an hour or two, or a couple nights ago. But the we're having a conversation on Alito's recent decision related to the Voting Rights Act, and I brought something up, and it was just annoying because I brought up how there was a court case before. I still don't know how this is pronounced, either Gingles or Jingles. I think it's Gingles. I read these. I don't hear them as much. But there's a framework that requires you to walk through this framework in order to see if somebody qualifies to bring up like a Section 2 case to see if a gerrymander is legitimate or not, whether or not it was like racially motivated or not. And Alito basically destroyed this entire framework. And, you know, the Mulally guy disagreed with me. He's like, well, no, I think it's mostly still there, blah, blah, blah. And then I think at some point, like an hour into this conversation, I think I asked him, I was like, are you aware of like how they reworked the preconditions for qualifying for a Section 2 case? And he had no idea at all. I'm like, wait, if you had no idea at all, then how do you even know? How could you have answered any of my questions earlier? And then I started to realize like, okay, well, these guys haven't read the cases, but they're arguing with me. And then I think the reason why I left is because they accused me of using AI.
Right. And Andrew Wilson did a video about this today, dissecting your debate, and not really a great person to talk about. And then he's accusing you of using AI and Google and this and that.
I'll Google things. If I don't remember like the name of a case, I'll Google something. But like you can go on my stream and you can watch. We spent like, you know, 12 hours reading these freaking horrible, and it's an Alito opinion. So this is like torture. Okay. This is the worst stuff you've ever seen in your entire life. Like I read them all on stream and you can take issue. You can say my opinion is dumb or bad or whatever. And that's fine. But Rob Noor, I complained about their video title and I made fun of the fact that they hadn't read the case they were debating on. Rob Noor quote tweets that like a few hours ago. And he's like, well, Destiny, I could prove that you used AI because you didn't remember this one case. And Alito writes about it right at the start. It was the Rucho one. I don't know that underlying case. I remember reading it, but I also read the entire opinion that we were talking about, which is why I was able to quote tweet Rob back. Rob wasn't even quoting from Alito's opinion. He was just quoting from the syllabus, which is written by like the reporter of the quarter or whatever. So Rob didn't even know what he was talking about. So he either AI'd that or somebody fed it to him. And it's like, what are we doing here, guys? This is ridiculous. If you don't want to read the underlying material, then just don't. But don't pretend that you have it and then say, I haven't.
I feel like these people that we're talking about, they just will do whatever they can to try and win a debate instead of talking about substance and coming up with solutions. I feel like all they care about is I won. I dog walked you. I won the debate. Do you feel like as you debate people more and more, you get more people that are bad faith that don't really care about the substance of the topic and just care about maneuvers to try to win a debate?
Yeah, I mean, like that's always kind of sort of been a part of it. You've had good faith debaters, you've had bad faith debaters. But now with the way that the whole funnel works for clips and how the political partisanship works, it's definitely way worse than it ever was. Whereas in the past, somebody might misrepresent a view of mine, or they might like even cut something maliciously to make it look like I'm answering differently than I actually am. Now people will like cut out your answers and then they'll lie about your positions and then they'll lie about their positions and then they'll lie about what was even said in the conversation and then they'll bring up other stuff that's not related. And it's like, at this point, you've created like, it's not even a straw man. It's like a caricature of a straw man, of a thing that you are now beating up on. And I don't even know whose opinions this is supposed to resemble.
Yeah, it's sad. Last point, Destiny, I wanted to bring this up with you. Thomas Massie, what took place last night. I feel like we're living in a MAGA world right now where if you take a stance, even, you know, Lauren Boebert did it, Nancy Mace did it, Marjorie Taylor Greene did it, and you say, hey, listen, we want justice for the victims of Jeffrey Epstein and his associates, right? That's really what they've done. Let's be honest about it. And I disagree with Thomas Massie on a lot of different issues, but he's right here. I feel like we're living in a country right now where if you want justice for victims who were sexually abused when they were children, Donald Trump will not support you and you will lose power. I feel like that's the MAGA movement right now. The same people who said Hollywood elitist and the pedophiles and the binders and all that stuff, phase one with Pam Bondi. But now if you go against literally anything that Donald Trump wants, go against anything. It could be child rape, for God's sakes. You're going to lose. I mean, what do you make of this, Thomas? Because I think that's the main factor of why Massie lost last night.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. But I mean, like, the reality is that a lot of the victims are just kind of dumb. If they were really smart, what they would have done is they would have said, the reason why I was denied the ability to prosecute my case against Epstein was because of political partisanship from the Biden administration. And then that way they could apply to that $1.776 billion fund, and then they could get a payout from the government to remedy them of all their past traumas and injuries. And that should be the path they take in the future.
You know what? I'm with you on that one. Let's give the money to actual real victims, not people who beat cops. Destiny, it's always a pleasure, my man. I appreciate you coming on. Hopefully we can catch up with you at some point next week. And, you know, be careful with that rage quitting on those debates, because I know all those right wingers out there want to go after you.
Yeah, I'll try not to in the future after my 2-hour debate rage quitting. Yeah.
Thanks, Destiny. I appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you soon. OK,
have a good one.
Named it after the founding of this country. He's paying the people who tried to destroy that country with a fund named after it with your tax dollars. Now, I just want you to think about something. And I mean, really think about it, okay? Think about if the black president...
I really don't even want to read this. I don't know if I can. This is going to be the hardest in my entire life I've ever tried not to Fed post. Office of the Attorney General. The settlement agreement in Trump v. Internal Revenue Service, which was, by the way, a court case where they just claimed that the IRS was unfairly harassing him. Or no, it was because his taxes got leaked, so he sued the entire IRS, has created the Anti-Weaponization Fund. The settlement agreement directed the Attorney General to issue an order establishing funding and any other relevant requirements for the fund. Capitalized terms in this document shall have the same meaning as in the settlement agreement. The United States releases, waives, acquits, and forever discharges each of the plaintiffs from, and is hereby forever barred and precluded from prosecuting or pursuing any and all claims, counterclaims, causes of actions, appeals, or requests for any relief, including injunctive relief, monetary relief, damages, examinations, or similar or related reviews, appeals, debt relief, blah, 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 blah. As of the effective date of the settlement agreement, have been or could have been asserted by defendants against any of the plaintiffs or related or affiliated individuals, including without limitation, family or others filing jointly, or parties including trusts, blah, 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 in connection with or which arises out of, one, any matters that were raised or could have been raised or could have been raised in the case or the pending agency claims, two, lawfare and or weaponization, or three, any matters currently pending or that could be pending, including tax returns filed before the effective date, before defendants or other agencies or departments. The U.S. Department of Justice today announced that as a part of the settlement agreement in President Donald J. Trump, the Internal Revenue Service, the Attorney General established the Anti-Weaponization Fund to provide a systematic process to hear and redress claims of others who suffered weaponization and lawfare. The plaintiffs in the case, President Donald J. Trump, Donald J. Trump Jr., Eric Trump, and all the rest of these incestuous fucking retards, filed suit against the Treasury and IRS in the Southern District of Florida federal court following the leak of their tax returns. Per the settlement, plaintiffs will receive a formal apology, but no monetary payment or damages of any kind. They have agreed, in exchange for the creation of this fund, to drop their pending lawsuit with prejudice and also withdraw two administrative claims, including for damages resulting from the unlawful raid of Mar-a-Lago and the Russia collusion hoax. The machinery of government should never be weaponized against any American, and it's this department's intention to make right to the wrongs that were previously done while ensuring this never happens again, said Acting Attorney General Todd Blanche. As part of this settlement, we are setting up a lawful process for victims of lawfare and weaponization to be heard and seek redress. The use of government power to target individuals or entities for improper and unlawful political, personal, or ideological reasons should not be tolerated by any administration. The fund will have the power to issue formal apologies and monetary relief owed to claimants. Submission of a claim is voluntary. There are no partisan requirements to file a claim. Any money left when the fund ceases operations will revert to the federal government. The fund will receive $1.776 billion. Get it? Like 1776. Will receive $1.776 billion and will come from the judgment fund, which is a perpetual appropriation, allowing the DOJ to settle and pay cases. On a quarterly basis, the fund shall send a report to the Attorney General outlining who has received relief and what form of relief was awarded. At the Attorney General's direction, the fund can be audited. The fund must take steps to protect private information and avoid fraud. The fund shall cease processing claims no later than December 1st, 2028. There's no way this is at all legal, right? What a stupid fucking question, okay? Go revisit all the past debates I've had on this, okay? Anything can be legal if you put your mind to it. This is why the whole concept of should we break the law when we go after them? Should we? You don't need to break the law. You don't have to break any law. As long as you're willing to read creatively, okay, go through a few fiction books, okay, read a couple of Harry Potters. You can invent whatever the fuck you want. Whatever you want, you can invent it, okay? There is legal precedent for such a fund, most notably the Keep Siegel case, where the Obama administration created a $760 million fund to redress various claims alleging racism against the federal government over a period of decades. Keep Siegel v. Vilsack addressed decades of systematic discrimination by the USDA against Native American farmers and ranchers who were denied equal access to credit and loan services. The landmark $760 million settlement not only compensated victims, but also mandated structural reforms to ensure fair treatment going forwards, created the Native American Farmer and Rancher Council, improved the USDA loan programs, and established the Native American Agriculture Fund. This definitely sounds like the same type of thing. Wow, Prison Waffles, thank you for gifting 5 subs and Kick Chat. And this was a case, it sounds like they fought and lost, right? Is what it looks like. It doesn't look like it was just Barack Obama cutting up a deal with his crony fuck friends. I don't know, I guess. Like, I don't even know. There's not even, I don't know. What do you want me to say? Esports Batman is acting like Pixie got a kill shot on you, LOL. The Jessica Discord is in major cope mode. I guess just going on stream last night and brainwashed his audience that somehow this filing proves spoliation and perjury. It's just the most cope shit you've ever seen in your entire fucking life.
Founding of this country. He named it after the founding of this country. He's paying the people who tried to destroy that country with a fund named after it with your tax dollars. Now, I just want you to think about something. And I mean, really think about it, okay? Think about if the black president did this. If he had done any part of this. Any part of this. If Barack Obama had sued his own government, settled with himself in secret, created a billion-dollar fund, almost a $2 billion fund, with no congressional oversight to pay his political allies. What if he did that? What would have happened? Y'all know exactly what would have happened. They would not have waited for a monologue. They would not have had him in chains. They would have had him in chains before sundown. Every network, every Republican, every talk radio host from here to Tulsa screaming, treason! And you know what they would be thinking? Now, this, of course, the black man is going to behave that way, but this one, at this time, it's the white man.
True.
The National Guard would have been called in. Impeachment articles would have been filed before the ink dried. Oh, my God, can you imagine Fox News? Wow, Fox News would have run... They would have run it 24/7 for the next 10 years. They would have built a museum called the Barack Obama Corruption Museum. The Obama, what is it? Crime Family. But instead, this is like they called Joe Biden the Biden crime family. That's the crime family. But it is Trump, so it's Monday.
Asmongold says black people are genetically inferior.
Remember to hit that like and subscribe, and don't forget the notification bell so that my videos show up right in your feed.